And I think that's the big difference, because people think, oh, I don't feel insecure anymore. It's like, yeah, I still feel the insecurities, but I've mastered them. I've mastered them in a way where they don't have power over me like they used to. And so now my dreams and my goals and my strengths are so much more at the forefront of my mind and my identity.
Hello and welcome to the Medical Women Podcast, the world's first podcast aimed at supporting and empowering medical women in their careers. I'm Dr. Nuthana Bayankaram, and it's my honour and joy to be your host as each week we speak to a fantastic guest who's here to help us in our careers. I'm Vice President of the Medical Women's Federation, the largest body of women doctors in the UK, and the voice of medical women on medical issues. Join us as each week we hear about a topic that's helpful for all of us in our careers. Hello everyone, I hope that you are all doing wonderfully this week. This week's episode is all about how to be confident and killing it. And our guest this week is the absolutely fantastic Tiwa Ogunlesi, who is the founder and author of Confident and Killing It. Tiwa is a confidence coach, and she teaches particularly women about how to own their worth, how to feel confident in themselves, how to feel worthy of asking for a raise, I guess kind of more outside of medicine. But yeah, just in really owning their achievements. And you know, it's kind of that time of the year where we're all sort of, we're in winter, we're kind of hunkering down, and I just thought everybody might benefit from having a little confidence boost. So that's what we're getting today from the lovely Tiwa. I hope that you find this episode really, really helpful and really enjoy it. There's a link to Tiwa's fabulous book and website in the show notes. And she has this great free downloadable resource where you can track your wins from each month so that, you know, periodically you can have a look and be like, wow, I've done all of these things. And on those days where you feel like everything's going wrong and you're feeling quite rubbish, it's great to have a look and be like, yeah, these are my wins. And you could even collect kind of like nice things that people say about you. So anything that then sort of gives you a lift, I would highly recommend having a look at that. And I hope that by the end of listening to this episode, you are really feeling more confident and like you're confident and killing it. Enjoy this episode. And don't forget, our conference is happening on Friday, the 10th of May, 2024 in Cambridge. We would absolutely love to see you there in person. I'll pop a link in the show notes so that you can get yourself registered. See you there. Bye. So it's lovely to have with me today Tiwa Lola Ogunlesi. Welcome to the podcast, Tiwa. Would you be able to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. Hi, everyone. My name is Tiwa Lola Ogunlesi. I'm a confidence coach specializing in positive psychology, an author, and the founder of Confident and Killing It. And Confident and Killing It is a purpose-driven organization that wakes women up to their worth so they can be confident, unstoppable, and really just dare to live the life that they truly desire. So yeah, that's me. Also, a bit about my personality. I like to say if Oprah and Beyonce got together and had a baby, I would be the result of that fabulous combination. So yeah, that's me.
That is a brilliant description. Oprah and Beyonce had a baby. That'd be amazing. So I'd love the whole ethos behind Confident and Killing It. And it would be great to hear how did it come about, you setting up Confident and Killing It?
Yeah, so I was actually quite an insecure teenager. My mind was a mess. I struggled really badly with negative thoughts. I was confident on the outside in terms of I did well in school, but that was more motivated from a point of feeling like I wasn't good enough. So I had to work hard in school to prove myself. I didn't think I was smart enough. I didn't think I was pretty enough. I didn't like the way my body looked compared to the super thin supermodels that I saw on television and in magazines. And so I just kind of like poured myself into schoolwork to like kind of like succeed, but internally my mind was a mess. And it wasn't until I was 21, my mom gave me this book called 15 Laws of Growth by John Maxwell. And in that book, he talked about how growth is intentional and growth doesn't just come with age. Growth is something you have to seek out and be strategic about. And I'm an Aries, I'm a very confident person. So I was like, okay, wait, you mean I can like have a vision of who I want to be in the future? And then I have to like just set up a plan to go after that. I'm like, easy, let's do it. And so I started reading more books around personal growth and development. I started learning more about my strengths, you know, what I was good at doing. Well, where's my area of power? I call it your power circle. What am I passionate about? You know, I've always kind of, just invested in my mindset from that day. And so as I began to do that, I noticed that, first of all, personal growth wasn't something a lot of what I saw women talking about. And then also a lot of young people as well, just like was non-existent. And so I decided that I wanted to kind of share the knowledge that I was getting from all of these books I was reading and share it with my community, my friends. Well, I didn't have a community then, but just like my friends and my siblings and like people who kind of like family and friends that followed me on social media type of thing. And at the same time, I was actually volunteering as a youth leader in my local church. And every Friday, I would go into this basement of a youth center and hang out with teenage girls ages like 16 to 17. And I would ask them, you know, what's one thing you want me to help you get out of in life? How can I help you as your mentor? And they said, you know, I want to be more confident. I want to learn to love and believe in myself. And I remember just being heartbroken by that, because it was like almost 10 years later from when I was insecure and didn't love myself and felt all these things, I was seeing another generation of young women growing up with the same struggles I had when I was a teenager. And I was like, this is not okay. You know, it's not a rite of passage to be insecure as a woman. Like, we all deserve to love and believe in ourselves. We deserve to feel good and to love our bodies and have a mind that loves us and supports us. So I was like, okay, how do I get this message out there more? And so I literally grabbed my phone one day and I recorded a video. This is back in 2016, of how important it is to love and believe in yourself. And I put that video out. I was shaking when I put it out. I was so nervous. I was worried. I thought people were going to think, what is this? This is so cringe. Who are you? You know, but I realized the message in me was so much more important than the fear of what I was experiencing. And so I decided to put that video out there. I got amazing feedback. One video led to another video. And so for a whole year, I just kept posting videos with important messages for women to inspire them, to uplift them, to teach them how to be confident. And videos led to in-person events the next year in Lagos, New York, and London. And then that led to a whole university tour around the UK, going into unis to speak to students and run workshops with them. And then in 2019, I was like, let me just quit my job and see where this takes me. And so that, 2019, sorry, I think that's what I said. Yeah. And so I quit my job in 2019. And yeah, the rest is history. And so now Confident and Killing It is a media organization with my book that was published in July of 2022. I have a podcast that's listened to in over 200 countries and has been downloaded over 150,000 times. What else? We have an online academy where women come for coaching courses and community. And we have our corporate well-being arm where we go into companies like Google, Facebook, TikTok, Deloitte, Morgan Stanley, and run workshops for their employees, especially the women that work in those companies. So yeah, that's where we are today.
Oh, it sounds amazing. And what you're doing is so important. And as you say, a lot of the personal development, personal growth space is very much like men and oriented towards men. And we were just speaking just before we started recording about like women and energy and how it changes during our cycles. So we can't quite take the things that are tailored just for men and be like, oh, okay, yes, because
it doesn't work for women. And then we kind of think, oh no, there's something wrong with me, but it's that it's not tailored towards women. So I think it's absolutely great. I would love to hear from you what confidence means to you.
Yeah, I mean, confidence, I have a few definitions for confidence. So one of them is an in-depth belief in yourself and your abilities, that you have what it takes to take action on your idea. So it's not an absence of fear or self-doubt. It's feeling the fear and self-doubt, but doing it anyways. And I think that's the big difference, because people think, oh, I don't feel insecure anymore. It's like, yeah, I still feel the insecurities, but I've mastered them. I've mastered them in a way where they don't have power over me like they used to. And so now my dreams and my goals and my strengths are so much more at the forefront of my mind and my identity than my insecurities. Another way I like to describe confidence is about keeping the promises you make to yourself, right? Imagine you're moving house and you asked a friend to help you move house, and the friend was like, yeah, I'll be there 4 p.m. Don't worry, I've got you. 4 p.m. came, the friend never showed up. You call them like, oh, I'm so sorry. Next one, I'll be there. Don't worry. And the next time came and they never showed up. And so if you were betting on someone and they constantly broke the promises you made, you would lose confidence in them. You would detach yourself from them and just think, oh no, this person doesn't really rate me or value me. You know, I don't have confidence that they're going to show up. And you know, you have that separation. And the same goes with yourself. When you go, oh, you know, I'll just do it tomorrow. Or when you tell yourself, oh, I really want to start a podcast, and then you come up with 100 excuses as to why you shouldn't, and you break the promises you keep making to yourself, it will result in a lack of confidence in yourself. So confidence is also about, when you say you're going to do something to yourself, make sure you follow through and do it. So you build that trust that you are somebody who does what they say.
That's great. I think, yeah, so much of that resonates. And so, as you said, you were your first book, because I'm sure you will write more books. Your first book came out last year and is a fantastic guide on how to be confident in killing it. And I would love it if you can kind of share with us what you think are like the top things that you would want everybody to know about how to be confident in killing it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the first thing I would say is your mind is so important. And because I have specialization in positive psychology, I love that I bring that into building confidence, because confidence is an art, but it's also a science. And there are practical things that you can do to help you improve your confidence. And the first thing I will say is that confidence is a practice. So if your confidence has been broken in the past, it can definitely be rebuilt using very practical tools, which I'm going to share now. So first thing to do is really learn and understand the power of your mind and make your mind work for you instead of against you. And the first thing you can do for that to happen is to know the positive things about yourself, is to know your strengths. When I ask people to tell me what their strengths are, they're looking left, they're looking right, like hoping the ground opens up and like swallows them, because it's so uncomfortable to say nice things about yourself, right? But when I ask people to tell me what their weaknesses are, I'm like, oh, I'm so bad at this, I'm so bad at that, I'm always late, I'm terrible with people, and it just rolls off your tongue. So think about, you know, what is going on in your mind. If you know your weaknesses more than you know your strengths, that means you're living from that place. That means every time you walk into a room, you're thinking, I don't deserve to be here, I'm not good enough to be here, I don't have what it takes, instead of, I know that I am strategic, I am creative, I am, you know, resilient, I am confident, I can work a room, I can build my people skills, whatever it is, you know. So it's very important to actually carve out time to articulate what your strengths are, what you are good at doing, and read them every day, read them out loud, own them, because what do you have to lose, right? You become what you believe about yourself. So if you're like, oh no, maybe these are my strengths, I don't really know, and you're like, oh, maybe not, and you kind of push them to the side, you have nothing to gain from doing that, you know? So you might as well accept that there are good things about you and go on a journey to discover what those are. Now, the next step after that is to be able to use your strengths and the positive things about you, to get sassy with the mean person in your mind. I call her the mean girl in my mind. And it's that negative voice that's always questioning you, that's always making you doubt yourself and your abilities. Now, your mind is like a battlefield of conflicting forces, and it can either work for you or against you, but you can program it to work for you. And one of my favorite quotes is, she knew the power of her mind, so she programmed it for success. Now, how do you program your mind? Whenever the negativity comes up, the fear, the insecurity, the imposter syndrome, you can't just let it like throw a party in your head, grab some wine and popcorn, you know, and just let it be there. You've got to kick it out. You've got to get sassy with it, right? You've got to question it. And so when negative thoughts come up, when that self-doubt comes up, don't just let it accept it as reality. Question it. So how can you question it? Ask yourself, is this 100% facts, or am I making an assumption, right? Is it 100% facts if you speak up in a meeting, you'll say something stupid because you're not smart enough? No. You're going into your future and you're thinking of an assumption about making an assumption about something, and you don't actually know if that's what's going to happen. Next thing, you know, think, ask yourself, does this thought empower me or does it sabotage me? If a thought takes you further away from the person you want to become, from the goals and the dreams that you have, that's a sabotaging thought, and those belong in the bin, okay? You want to focus instead on the empowering thoughts that move you forward to your goals. So I always say to people, when you're challenging and checking your negative thoughts, ask, is it helpful to actually believe this about myself? Is it helpful to believe that you're not a good people person, or, you know, you're not smart enough to be in your field? No, it's not helpful. So instead, focus your energy on the thoughts that actually empower you and are helpful to whatever dream and goal you're working towards. And then finally, I would say the last third step is really learning to celebrate yourself, because it's scientifically proven that if you look back at your life with a sense of achievement and accomplishment, you feel more confident and optimistic about your future, because you go, if you did it before, you can do it again, right? And so when you're building confidence, you want to take time every week. I have this tool called my monthly wins tracker. It's a free tool on Confident and Killing It's website, where every month you can go in and write down your small wins and your big wins, right? It doesn't take more than 30 minutes to do. Carve out time, small wins and big wins, because then you're reminding yourself of all the great things that you've done in that month, and then it comes to the forefront of your thinking. So the next time you find yourself in a challenging situation, you can be like, oh, I remember last time this kind of happened to me, but I found a way through it. I was resilient. So if I did it before, I can do it again. So building confidence is about really about setting yourself up for success. It's about going on a journey to know who you are, waking up to that self-awareness, that greatness inside of you, getting sassy with the mean person in your mind, you know, challenging the fear and the imposter syndrome. You know, don't just let your mind tell you all these bad things about yourself and just be like, oh, okay, I'll just take it as it is. No, your mind isn't just your mind. Your mind can be programmed to love and support you. And when you can do that, then you're already on the way up to being a very confident person.
Oh, I absolutely love those, and particularly the tracking, the wins. I have used your monthly tracker before, but I haven't used it for the last few months, actually. So there's an action point for me from this podcast that I will start doing it again, because, yeah, it's so good to actually take time to take stock of what are my wins and to celebrate our wins, because a lot of the time we focus on kind of things that we could improve on or sort of more negative things, rather than actually what we're doing well, and taking time to celebrate those is so important.
Absolutely. So my book in general, you know, it's I like to say it's an empowering guide to overcoming fear and really unlocking your most empowered self. And so those three things I mentioned are, like, I would say if I could summarize everything, those are the key three steps around building confidence. But there's also additional things like investing in the right relationships and surrounding yourself with the right kinds of people, because you might be believing yourself, but if you're in a really toxic job environment, or, you know, in an environment where they don't see your light and they don't see the value that you bring, it can really knock your confidence. So that's something to pay attention to. Another part of building confidence that people don't really talk about is taking care of yourself, is that self-care piece and learning to rest in a way where you can recharge your creativity, your mental health, so many different ways to it. And, you know, I always thought, oh, rest is just sleeping, right? Oh, I slept for hours, but then you wake up and you're still tired. That's because there's so much more to resting than just sleeping. There's mental rest, there's emotional rest, there's social rest, there's spiritual rest. And I break all of these types of rest down in my book and give practical ways for people to learn how to rest in those ways. There's also understanding, you know, aside from your strengths, also understanding what fulfills you and what really matters to you. And productivity is a big part of it. If you spend your time doing work that you don't care about, that can actually knock your confidence, because you'll feel like, I'm not really fulfilling doing things that fulfill me. I'm just kind of coasting and floating and just ticking boxes. Whereas when you do work that you care about, that it energizes you, and you spend your time doing majority of the things you actually care about instead of just ticking boxes, then you feel alive, then you're in the flow, and then you even create more opportunities for you to grow and develop and succeed in life. So yeah, those are some extra bonus points that I talk about in the book on when it comes to building confidence.
Yeah, thank you for sharing those. I think that's so important that we do kind of rest and replenish, because you can't do anything if we're exhausted. I think particularly as women, and also as medics, it's kind of everything is like patient is your first concern, everything is about everybody else, and you're at the bottom of the pile, and yeah, it's just exhausting. And so much, yeah, particularly post-pandemic, so much burnout in healthcare professionals and in, yeah, in women in general, that's a really, really, yeah, important point. This is the great thing about podcasts. You think, oh, we're going to have a chat about confidence and we talk about the importance of rest. It's great.
Yeah, no, it's all part of it, because, you know, if you want to confidently go after your goals, you need to have the energy to do it. You know, if you, I've noticed that when I don't sleep, I begin to feel more insecure about myself. Right. I've actually noticed that, because when you don't rest properly, you begin to drop the ball in your day to day life, or your tasks that were really easy and breezy for you to do all of a sudden feel like a burden. And then that begins to affect your mind and your mindset and how you see yourself. Right. So learning to rest properly and feeling fulfilled and filling up your cup before you pour it out to other people is so important in building confidence. And, you know, I always say your purpose is not to give all of yourself in service to other people. Your purpose in life is not to diminish yourself just because you want to serve others. No, your purpose in life is to be awake to the greatness inside of you, your gifts, your strengths, your talents, and to share it with the world in a way that still works for you, right? It's to share your knowledge and your skills and your talents with the world, but knowing that it's a gift you're giving them, right? Not like you owe it. You don't owe the world anything, really. You know, you owe it to yourself first to make sure that you are whole functioning human being with a positive mind and feeling fulfilled. And then from that, you give to the world, because that's when you give your best self. And, you know, we've all been to those, well, from my side as a patient, we've been to those doctor's appointments where you can tell, like, the doctor is like either disengaged or stressed, or, you know, like doesn't really want to be in the appointment right now, doesn't have your time of day, and your patient can really feel that. So if you want to kind of be the best doctor or nurse, whatever, in your field, you need to fill your cup up first, so that when you're in the room with the patient, they feel seen, they feel heard, they know that they matter, and they get the best version of you instead of a version of you that's kind of burnt out. And I know it's easier said than done, because with the cuts and the shortages and the lack of staff and the lack of support, you know, it's easy to just keep going. But we actually have to be really intentional about, you know what, no, I'm going to prioritize myself right now, because I want to give the best me when I show up.
I think that's such an important point. And I think, you know, like quite a lot I'll kind of recognize, like we were saying earlier. So I finished nights this morning. So I'm not doing a very good job of prioritizing my rest by booking a podcast interviews in the afternoon after finishing. But, you know, like 4 o'clock in the morning, I was asked, oh, can you come and do a cannula? I'm on neonates at the moment. And I hadn't eaten, I hadn't drunk anything. And I just said, okay, I just need 5 minutes. I'm going to go and eat something. And then I know that when I come back, my success rate will be much higher than if I go and try and do it now. And it'll be worse for me, worse for the baby. Whereas me going and taking a bit of time and coming back is actually a better outcome. So exactly. I think, yeah, it's so important that we do that. Unless exactly. It's an emergency, you have to do it straight away.
Yeah.
In which case you can't be like, oh, sorry. But if it's not an immediate emergency, that is to go and look after yourself and come back, and things are so much better after we do that. I've just got some quick fire questions for you now, if that's all right. Of course, we've heard about your wonderful book, and you have already given us one book recommendation, but I was wondering if there are any books that you would recommend all of our listeners read.
Ooh, yeah. In terms of like overall personal growth and development, or
anything. Area?
Okay. I really like The Code of the Extraordinary Mind by Vishen Lakhiani. And again, he breaks down like, you know, all the things you used to believe, are they serving you? Are they useful? Because not everything you believe needs to be the truth about who you are in your life. So that book really, if you feel like you're stuck in a rut and you're just kind of accepting what life throws at you, that book can really help you shake things up and really question things. What's another book that I really enjoyed? I've just finished reading The Big Leap. Yeah, so I've just finished reading The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks, and it's really about understanding that you have a zone of genius within you. And right now, you know, many of us are in maybe just the zone of excellence, but then there's something else inside of you. There's that inner greatness that you can get to. And it's about, you know, not settling and knowing how to like live the life where you are in flow and you're connected to who you are, and not letting, you know, all these kind of excuses and things come in the way and challenges come in the way to kind of like derail you off going into that zone of genius. So I would say and then the last one I really enjoyed also was Everything is Figureoutable by Marie Folio. And again, that's just about like, you don't need to have all the answers in life. You just need to be able to believe that you have what it takes to figure it out. And it goes back to a concept in my book that I talk about called learning and leveling up. Instead of faking it till you make it, you know, or walking into a room and pretending you need to have all the answers, especially in the medical profession, you know, you have that imposter syndrome where it's like you're meant to be the smartest, you're meant to be a genius. But actually, it's not just about what you know, it's your ability to solve problems and figure things out as you go along. So, yeah, that's another book that I really enjoyed.
Amazing. We'll put links to all of those in the show notes. I love Everything is Figureoutable. I've not read the other two yet, so I will add those to my list of books to read. My next question is there anything you know now that you wish you had known earlier on in your career?
Ooh, yes. I this year has been a really eye-opening year for me because last year, I would say, so 2020, I worked the hardest I've ever worked in my life. And then 2022, I worked the hardest I've ever worked in my life. Like another level of hardest I've ever worked in my life. And because the book was coming out, I was planning a wedding, just, you know, building my business, trying to juggle so many different things at the same time. And I thought, you know, after 3 and a bit years of hard work, I would think that going into 2020, you know, the year after my book has come out, you know, amazing feedback here and there, this year would just be a stroll in the park. The opportunities would just be rolling in. I could apply for any opportunity and I would get it because, you know what, I've done this, the most amazing thing in the world, I've written a book. And to my surprise, entrepreneurship doesn't really work like that. It's another year of hustle. It's another year of needing to work very hard. And what I'm doing differently now is just doing it in a more sustainable way. So I would say the past couple of years, I didn't really do it in a sustainable way, but I needed to do what I needed to do at the time. You know, pandemic happened. I was just a solo entrepreneur at the time. I had just, you know, quit my job. So it was like either sink or swim, and I was swimming and fighting for my life. But now it's like, yes, things are more established. It still requires hard work. The hard work never stops. I thought after 3 years of incredible hard work, I thought I would be, you know, on a beach somewhere on a recliner, like getting pina coladas, you know, but actually the hard work never stops. And also, just because you work hard at something doesn't mean you're going to get the exact results you want exactly when you want it. That was another eye-opening thing for me. It's like, yeah, you can work hard and you will get results, but they may not come exactly when you want. There's a time lapse somewhere where it's like when you sow a seed before you see the fruit of that seed. And so I really had to like train my mind not to be in the instant gratification phase when it comes to work and results, because it's a journey, and yeah, you've got to keep going.
Amazing lessons. Thank you for sharing those with us. And my last question is a question that a group of children and young people that work with the Royal College of Paediatrics came up with. And they very kindly said that we could borrow it for the podcast. So it's, if you were a type of biscuit, what type of biscuit would you be and why?
Oh my gosh, no way. That's so funny. if I could be a biscuit, what kind of biscuit would I be? I mean,
I'm trying to think about like Oprah and Beyonce as biscuits that then fuse to make a tuna biscuit now.
I know. This is, wow, this is a curveball. I didn't see that coming. Well, I will say my favorite biscuit, I would say, is Biscoff. Mm. Like the Italian Biscoff biscuits. I love those. But I also love the McVitie's with the chocolate on the top. I love that too. So, you know, maybe I'll go for that. A little bit of sweet, a little bit of savory, different layers, dynamic. So yeah, maybe I'll go for that. The McVitie's with the chocolate layer on top.
Amazing. Well, Tiwa, it's been so lovely to speak to you. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your wisdom with us and inspiring all of us to be more confident and killing it.
Thank you so much for having me. I love being here, and keep up all the amazing work. To anyone listening to this, like, the work you do is so important. You are important. So yeah, sending so much love and gratitude to you all.
Thank you so much for listening to the Medical Women Podcast. Make sure to subscribe for free on whichever podcast platform you listen on so that you automatically get our episodes. The aim of this podcast is to support and empower as many medical women in their careers as we possibly can. So please share this episode with at least one other medical woman. If you're interested in joining the Medical Women's Federation, we would love to have you. And all links to our website and social media are in the show notes. This podcast has been produced on behalf of the Medical Women's Federation by Dr. Nuthana Bayankaram and Miss Jenna McKenzie. Our music was composed and played by Dr. Kethaki Bayankaram. Thank you so much for listening.